It's now time for The Sit Down with Don Tony.
The Sit Down, where Don Tony talks one-on-one with his followers.
What are you looking at?
About the world of pro wrestling, pop culture, and so much more.
The Sit Down with Don Tony.
And now, your host, Don Tony.
I like Kevin Milwaukee's comment in the chat. Don Tony, for over 25 years, the revolutionary force in sports entertainment. Yeah, I'm old. I am old. You know, believe it or not, and you know me, I usually don't like advertise milestones. Tuesday is my 5,000th episode. If you add up the episodes and the countdown that I've been doing for about 2 years now, 2.5 years. Tonight is technically episode 4,998. And that's the hotline and the podcast combined, obviously. We're only about, I think, 12 away from 2,000 podcast episodes. Hotline is about 3,000 and podcast is about 2,000. So, yeah, we're going to hit that milestone on Tuesday. It was not intentional. And I will tell you, since Tuesday is Patreon, we decided to do a rapid fire episode. And I probably will air it for everybody just as a lighthearted episode. So for all of you out there that are not Patreons, no worries. And our Patreon family is pretty cool about it. They will have no problem allowing me to share the episode with all of you. Thank you, Eddie K. Keep a lookout for a Donzilla Familia sign on Raw. Have a good time, my friend. I will be watching. Now the world is watching. I think Raw is going to be a fun show. Edge will get the answer for his WrestleMania challenge. We all believe it's going to be AJ Styles. I know some people are still holding out hope that it's going to be Cody Rhodes. I don't know about that. I will stick with what I've been saying. If Cody's coming back the night after WrestleMania, there's so much going on WrestleMania weekend. I mean, Cody would obviously be a highlight of it, but there might be a lot more focus the night after. The big question is, what do you do with him? That's the burning question. Does he challenge someone for a championship? Does he just go out there and cut a promo? Almost like Jericho in 99. And I'm not saying that they're similar circumstances, but, Jericho came there. We didn't know who he was going to feud with. And they threw him right in the fire, man. He went right at the Rock. And the rest is history. AS7607, much love to you. Then, now, forever. Yeah, when I'm long gone, you know, these episodes should remain online because no one in my family knows how to take them down. So, they probably will be online forever. So somebody will be getting the little commission checks that come in. So, but, we have obviously a bunch of things to talk about. You dictate the conversation. I see in the chat room today, Kane. You think he's still inducting The Undertaker? You think there's a chance that WWE may be pressured now on social media not to have Kane induct The Undertaker? I'm sorry for the brief pauses, especially for my audio-only family out there. I'm not kidding. I was sleeping an hour ago. No joke. Every 5 years, yours truly has to deal with something. No, it's not somebody from my past showing up. I get bad pain in my wisdom teeth. And 2 days ago, it was just the weirdest thing. I was brushing my teeth, and about 10 minutes later, I started getting a little sharp pain. I'm like, oh, that's odd. And I thought maybe I got something stuck in it, which I know I didn't. And now full-blown, swollen pain, and it's starting to travel this way. So, I tried to eat a little dinner a few minutes ago, chewing only on one side, not all that good. So thank God hot and cold liquids is not sensitive to it. It's only when you push down on it. Problem is, all you got to do is smile and it hurts. But Kane tonight, the center of attention, and I will explain the title of tonight's show, which I might change by the end of the night to the Kane comment, obviously. Is Sasha McMahon, wake up, DT. Is Sasha Banks trolling Vince McMahon a little bit? Has anybody ever gotten that feeling? A few people the last day or two are starting to get that feeling again with Sasha Banks. I'll explain why in a little bit. What's going on with Tammy Sitch? Not a whole lot other than alcohol and legal problems. We closed out last night's show talking about Tammy. Arrested, DUI, driving without a license, driving under suspension, driving without a registration, driving a vehicle that doesn't have the device that you blow into it in order for the car to start. She's got a lot of legal issues because her license was already taken away and she didn't listen. And she's got other legal things going on too. So, I said it responding to a few comments from yesterday and today on the other videos. You know, it's either going to be a serious illness or tragedy or jail. It seems like those are the only three things that are going to force. She's going to have to be forced to stop drinking alcohol. Alcohol is her vice, period. Bad relationships, look, sometimes it's unlucky, being unlucky. Sometimes you seek out the wrong people. But if you have heard my shows in the past, and I know I've said it 1,000 times, I'm friends, not close, but I'm friends with a few of her closest buddies. And they all tell me the same thing. Alcohol is her vice. Alcohol is just, that's a relationship that you cannot break. She cannot break. There are times where she really tries to, but she gives in. And it's not a joke. It's not a joke because I know a lot of you out there who have dealt with addiction or had family members or friends that have dealt with addiction. It takes over sometimes. And, it's a shame. It's a shame. It's a real shame. So, no, Eric, don't apologize. That's why I'm trying to trim down the length of the shows, because I know everyone out there can't tune into every minute of every show. So if we could try, my goal by the end of 2022 is to have these shows around an hour. Not trying to rip anybody off. I know, we could stay and talk all night long, and, maybe we will do that. Maybe after a show is over in the future, we'll just keep having a conversation that's not technically part of the show. It's a little complicated when it comes to YouTube, because when you stop the show, you stop the connection. So I would have to have another connection ready to go. So we may actually do that in the future. The problem with those, about 12, 13 years ago, I did that a little bit. We would do an episode. Then we would finish it. We'd do like an after hours thing. And the problem is like some of the after hours get so funny. People are like, oh my God, you should have recorded it. And a lot of them we didn't record. And yeah, I kind of regret years later, like, man, if we recorded this, this would have been epic, funny, hilarious. So if you start doing that, then people want that recorded as well. So I don't know. We'll figure it. Yeah, off the air. It's exactly what it is. So maybe we could do that later on. I would love to do it on Discord. The problem is, like I said, it just gets very toxic, all the social media areas. Maybe we will. That's definitely something I'll look into. Maybe we could do something like as soon as the show is done over here, I could say, all right, everybody, let's go invade Discord. And we got to invade the main channel. This way, everybody's like, huh? Who are all these people? Yes, we're taking over. We're like the BWO, the Blasey World Order, not the NWO, the BWO. I'll be the blue guy. All right, let's talk about Kane for a minute. Kane has gotten himself in a little bit of hot water. Let me make this disclaimer right from the get-go. I am not defending Kane for 1 second. I know why he said what he said. It doesn't mean I'm defending him. I want to make that clear. What's happening in Ukraine is horrible. It's a power move by Putin. And, you know, now we hear that Ukraine and Russia are going to be meeting through diplomats, and hopefully they could come to some remedy quickly. This whole situation should not have happened in the first place. Kane posted a tweet that got himself in a lot of hot water. And what made it worse, and I don't blame Hangman Page for saying what he said, but when you're in the age of social media, what's that phrase that I use? I can't, you know, I've been off of Twitter. I mean, other than the episode we did with Jason and just responding to everybody, you know, like this, the social media just takes a life of its own. What's that phrase I used for about 2 weeks? I can't remember. It's not toxic masculinity. I know that's another phrase that people use online, but not where people, you know, like they don't have the solution, but they'll use a situation to make it about themselves. Yeah, no, nobody remembers either. I can see by the chat it's a guessing game right now. But anyway, you know, Hangman Page hijacked Kane's tweet. And obviously, you know, I can't fault Hangman Page at all, because Hangman Page is basically saying to Kane, like, what are you, nuts? Are you absolutely nuts? Kane wrote the following about Putin. He says, and I quote, if you are on the left, now I focus on that first part of what he said. If you are on the left, if you are on the left, and shocked by Putin's aggression, wake up, sunshine. Historically, in the real world, might makes right. Weakness is not a virtue. It's a fatal character flaw. And no, the U.S. should not get involved. Then he goes on a little bit later on in the day, and he says, and I quote, I highly doubt Putin cares a whit about toxic masculinity, cancel culture, or any other things the radical left stands for. Now, in no way do I think Kane was supporting Putin. Let's be honest for a minute. But the easy way out of, you know, social media for a lot of people is posting emojis, posting I stand with Ukraine, you know, we need to love each other. You know, you see the formula again. You know, we're heartbroken. And I think what Kane made a mistake. Let's make this clear. Kane put his foot in his mouth. Kane, in my opinion, what he was trying to do is he was trying to say, look, to this radical left that is shocked about what happened, you know, people take control of weakness. You show weakness, you know, people will take advantage of it. You know, Trump, and I have fallen out of favor with Trump a lot, and I am not supporting Trump when I say this. Trump is boasting right now that if he was president, Putin would not have invaded Ukraine. And I do believe that. You know why I believe that? Because I think Trump would be loony enough to do something to Russia and Putin about it. And I think when it came to Russia and looking at Biden and others, look, I'm not taking sides here. I'm just giving you my opinion. You all asked for it. I'm giving you my opinion, why I think Kane said what he said. You look at Biden, and in the midst of all of this, you know, he comes out on a Friday to announce his pick for the Supreme Court. You know, I'm like, we're in the middle of a fucking war, you know, and because it's a black woman, because he promised to nominate a black woman, he had to throw that out there to show strength. But the fact is, you know, Russia looked at Biden, said this guy probably doesn't even know how to pee anymore. We're going to do what the fuck we want. We're going to take power. We're going to take what we always wanted. We have our best shot. We got our best shot with who's in office right now. I think that's what Cain was trying to say. Talking about the left, that if you're so shocked, how could you be shocked? Might is right. You show strength, and strength, just strength, deters people. You live in a bad neighborhood. You live in a bad neighborhood. You have all these houses being broken into. And you got a couple of criminals eyeing up your house, and they walk right up to your property, and all of a sudden you hear, Pitbull. Not the singer, but dogs. You hear a bunch of pit bulls. Strength. There's riots going on. People see your house. They want to break in. They go on your doorstep and they, is that a guy with a Uzi in his house just standing there? You know, that's strength. You know, let me go to the next house next door. I think that's what Cain was trying to say. The problem with Cain is he tried to talk too much like a politician. He tried to talk like streetwise and political at the same time. And he talked in too fancy words. And people just interpreted it that he's supporting Putin. That's why, again, I have nothing against Hangman Page at all for what he did. For those that don't know, he put under the same tweet that Cain wrote, how you can donate money to help the victims in Ukraine. But then this is where I think he made a mistake. He posted a YouTube clip 10 times when wrestlers got hit in the head a little too hard, and Cain is featured right on the front. And it's like, you know, I probably wouldn't have gone there because, again, I don't think in any way, shape, or form Cain was supporting Putin. I think what Cain was saying is that to the people on the left that are shocked and amazed by what's happening in Ukraine and Russia, you know, wake up. That's how it came across to me. I still would not have written that if I was Cain. And it's going to be interesting. I'm telling you, if he originally was going to be the one to induct Undertaker, does he still do it? Don't know. I mean, remember, right now Undertaker is the only person announced for the Hall of Fame. We still don't know if he's going in by himself or with others. I mean, we have difference of opinion as far as what should happen with the Hall of Fame. But if Undertaker goes in by himself and Kane is the one to induct him, that might cause a little bit of controversy. Does WWE want any of that controversy WrestleMania weekend? And I'll add something to it, too. Remember this. Whether Undertaker goes in by himself or Undertaker goes in the Hall of Fame with others, if Kane ends up not being the one to put him in, remember this quote. You will see websites that will write exclusive breaking news. Kane was originally supposed to induct the Undertaker, but due to his recent comments about the unrest, the war in Ukraine, WWE felt that it was necessary to pull Kane from the Hall of Fame. That's how the sausage is made, everyone. Somebody is already got that written up and saved as a template. And the minute they announce who's inducting the Undertaker, if it is not Kane, you will see that article come out. You might see some people dare try to charge you money to read that bullshit. So, should we queue it up? Should we be the first ones to post it? It's not a funny matter, though. It's crazy. I've watched a lot of footage of what's going on, and I think even if there ends up peace, and I also think Russia's getting their ass kicked. Russia is getting their ass kicked. The problem is when you got to worry about nuclear weapons as well. I mean, you know, this could end up just tragically worse. But you see some footage. I mean, Russia is getting their ass kicked a little bit. But I think the video, the clip that'll always stick with me was that military vehicle. You saw it, Russia, in the streets, and decided to, I'm not trying to be funny about it, but there's been times in my lifetime where I'll be driving down like a boulevard, you know, just driving down the boulevard, going to my destination. Ooh, look, McDonald's. And I just like take that sharp turn and pull into the drive-thru. That's what that vehicle looked like. The vehicle was driving straight and just went out of its way, turned sharply left, and ran over a vehicle moving. And it was so heartbreaking. There is a good ending about this, by the way. There is a good ending. You hear whoever was recording from the house sobbing, and you're watching it. Now, there's more video to it because a lot of people don't know about 30 seconds, a minute before that incident happened, there's camera from the opposite side where Ukrainians killed a couple of Russians that were in a military vehicle. And what it looks like, I'm just trying to give you play-by-play. I'm not taking sides here. I mean, obviously, Russia is the one fucked up here. But it looks like that when that military vehicle was driving up that road and saw the dead bodies of the Russian fighters on the floor, I think just snapped and drove into that vehicle. The person who was in the vehicle was like 75 years old. He freaking survived. The vehicle was crushed. He freaking survived. I mean, it's amazing footage to see. Thank God he survived. But that will always stick with me. No, Jeff, it's not misleading. You got to seek out the whole 3-minute piece from the other camera angle, and you'll see every moment that goes down. I mean, it's clear. There's no misleading about it. There's a lot of misinformation. Oh my God, have you all seen the fraud? Have you seen the crazy fraud going on TikTok right now with Ukraine? If you're not aware about this, holy shit. What's happening right now, and I don't go on TikTok. I posted one TikTok video in my life, and that was it. That was when I was in the car and I did the Aflac duck impersonation. I put it on TikTok for some reason. It's got like 20,000 views, which apparently is nothing on TikTok. But Sean, I've watched everything. There was an island. What was it, Devil's Island? That you had a bunch of Ukrainians on an island and a Russian boat on the big loudspeaker. This is Russia. So come out with your hands up or we will fire. You have to come out with your hands up. And the guy, you hear him, he's like, this is it? What do we do? He gets on the microphone. He's like, go fuck yourself, Russia. I mean, it's not in English language, but I've watched everything. What's happening on TikTok right now is crazy. You have people that are getting sound bites from YouTube of sirens, some woman who was sobbing, and it's not even in Ukraine. If you look at the floor, you see palm trees. It's 30 degrees in Ukraine right now. And she's sobbing, and it's something on loop. And it's just a siren on loop, spliced in there. And people are sending crazy amounts of money. There are so many fake videos on TikTok right now, especially, where people are sending money to support family. I think they're supporting families. And it's somebody who just recorded a clip on loop, playing it over and over and over again. Some of it is from freaking video games. It's footage for, that's how unbelievably, like, insanely beautiful graphics have become in video games. That there's one of a jet in the sky being shot at. It's a freaking video game. And people think, because they spliced in some audio of somebody crying as they're watching this. There's another video of two jets flying by, and you hear kids in the background going, yay! And then you realize it's not from the war. It's from some display that they were sitting and watching. It's crazy. It is insane. Hundreds of thousands of dollars some of these people have pocketed. A crazy fraud right now. But getting back to Kane, one fall is asking me, who do I think is next? What do I think is next by Tony D'Angelo? I don't know what you mean. Like, who does he feud with next? It could be anybody. It could be anybody. I mean, the guy still, he doesn't even have 50 matches under his belt. I mean, in the past, wrestlers would wrestle 100 matches, you know, 50 to 100 matches before they even were considered some areas, unless you had some insane ept to learn quickly, or you had something that people were like, oh, we got to throw him out there right now, like Goldberg and others. There are exceptions to the rule. But getting back to Kane, very, very stupid move, in my opinion, about what he said. I know what he was intending to say, but with all due respect, when it comes to social media, you know, you have to be very simplistic in what you say. You cannot be overly complicated with your words, because it will be interpreted a much different way. And if it can be interpreted in a different way, people will do that. And the minute Hangman Page posted his post, that's it. Everybody jumped on Hangman Page, which I don't blame anybody. He made a big mistake. And I think it may cost him inducting The Undertaker. I'm not kidding. Gruss is saying, if not Kane, who will induct The Undertaker? Oh, they could go Shawn Michaels. They could go Triple H, but I have a feeling with everything, it's going to be interesting to see how much Triple H is involved with WrestleMania. See, unless you have known a parent, a grandparent, an uncle, maybe somebody, you know, you were close with that has ever had heart issues, you know, you never truly understand. I mean, people, simply because it was an episode, it was a heart episode, he had a cardiac episode, I think that's how they worded it. Some people think it's like, no big deal. Oh, it's just an episode. Motherfucker, my father had a cardiac episode. It was triple bypass. My maintenance guy in my complex right now is in the hospital. He flatlined twice. He had a cardiac episode, quadruple bypass, flatlined twice. They had to open up his chest twice. That's a cardiac episode. Nobody has a clue how bad Triple H's heart incident was. He might have a scar. I'm not joking when I say this. He might have a scar going down to his belly button, Triple H, right now. He may have had major open heart surgery. If he did, I don't care if he feels bad. You think he's going to come back and reveal that? So, look, it could have ended up being very, very mild. So we don't know. But cardiac episode is a very cute term to leave it very, very general. They didn't want to use dramatic words like heart attack or this. Cardiac episode is very, very broad, which we've talked about before. But cardiac episodes, you know, when you start looking into it, you know, Triple H could have had something major. If it were, his WrestleMania involvement is going to be really interesting to see if he's available for media. I wish he was, and I hope that he is. I wouldn't mind seeing him induct Undertaker. But, you know, a lot of people say Mick Foley, and I can't argue with that. It's going to be really important. It's going to be something that's going to be remembered forever. So this is not an easy, you know, thing. Believe me, if Kane was the one, trust me, WWE is probably having some meetings right now how to handle this. I mean, you think about how they had to change things because of the Fabulous Moolah. And it was based on one or two people coming out and people just joining up on it. And they had to change their whole tournament. They can't even mention Moolah publicly anymore. They love Moolah, but they can't mention it publicly anymore. You see what's this snowball effect with Kane stuff? WWE seriously may have to pull him. James Jones about Tammy before, he'd love to help, but Tammy has to want it. I don't think she wants it. When you have that addiction, whether it's drugs or alcohol, it takes over, man. It takes over. Remember what I said? I think there's a lot of depression involved with Tammy. I talked about that. And I think there's a lot of depression, and I think the alcohol numbs that depression. Your body gets chemically addicted to it. So I wish her nothing but the best. So, all right. We ain't seeing Reggie versus Pat McAfee, Charlie. We're not seeing that. That Pat McAfee, Vince McMahon rumor is taking a life of its own. And as I said yesterday, if they advertise that match, which they could very well do, Vince could even enter the ring. Vince could even hit the ring. Now, the funny thing is, what's weird about this is that people are trying to convince themselves that Vince actually could do this. Creatively, WWE has been getting ripped apart from a lot of people. And I see those same people that ripped the crap out of WWE creatively were actually trying to convince themselves that Vince McMahon could actually have this match. I have seen countless people posting this. Remember this? Remember with Gronk? You remember when Gronk was going to, they showed that clip of Vince taking a bump? Remember this? That's not that long ago. Look, Vince is taking a bump. Look, no big deal. No big deal. That's what people are trying to convince themselves that Vince could do this. It's not happening. It's not happening. It's crazy. Austin Theory, if they do a storyline with Pat McAfee, it's got to be Austin Theory. This Austin Theory has no other feud right now. He's got no opponent. I mean, could you do something with Seth Rollins? Yeah, I don't even know what they're going to do with Seth Rollins. Hell, like I said before, Kevin Owens and Seth Rollins might be your WWE Tag Team Champions going into WrestleMania. We may not see that split between Kevin Owens and Seth Rollins. Seth Rollins, I'm sure, is going to wrestle in some capacity. But no, he's not going to take bumps like that. And plus, who would want to see that? Remember what I said yesterday with a car wreck? Oh, my God, I can't look. Oh, no, 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 I can't look. That's what people's going to do. Nobody wants to see almost 80-year-old Vince McMahon in his mid-70s going in the ring. Why? It's no reason to do that. It's not on his bucket list. It's not happening. I like the idea of putting Seth Rollins with Damian Priest. I absolutely do. Thank you, Roger. Coffee time. Coffee time. Yeah. I'm not looking forward. I am and I'm not looking forward to Vince McMahon on Pat McAfee Thursday. Because Vince is so frail. I mean, having regular casual conversation. Let me move the keyboard. I didn't realize it was on the screen like that. But, you know, I wish that was pre-recorded. I wish it was pre-recorded because I just can't picture Vince like acing any type of feud unless I just thought about it. What if Austin Theory shows up with Vince McMahon and Austin Theory attacks Pat McAfee on Thursday? Maybe. I don't know. I'm just guessing. But if Vince, you know, is the Vince that we have been seeing, this could turn into an absolute train wreck very quickly. You know, I liked Michael Cole on there. I liked Brock Lesnar on there. I liked the stuff they did with Adam Cole. I like some of the other stuff that Pat has done. Vince gets me very nervous because this is going to be so forced. Why would Vince McMahon pick a fight with Pat McAfee? You know, so I think a lot of us are going to be tuning in Thursday out of curiosity more than anything else, but Austin Theory has got to be the one. He's got to be the one getting involved there. Come on. Got to be the one. Vince looks like Count Dracula these days. It's sad to see Vince age, you know, because I still remember, I mean, I remember, you know, late 70s, early 80s, but, you know, I'll always remember Vince for Mr. McMahon. You know, when he first faced Austin that time in the ring and he came out, and I think it was Jerry Lawler, like, he's jacked. I mean, he was just gigantic. I mean, you always knew that Vince worked out. I mean, if you look at the 90s with his FUBAs pants and his, you know, those muscle shirts he used to wear, Vince was always jacked. But when he came out and he had that match with Vince, that was crazy shit, man. Crazy, crazy shit. Yeah, I see Austin Theory doing that. Very quickly, someone had brought up earlier if I thought that Sasha Banks was trolling Vince McMahon again. Since we're talking about Vince, let's mention quickly about Sasha. I have Sasha Banks' Twitter account in front of me right now, which I will put on the screen. And, you know, in the past, Sasha Banks has posted some cryptic tweets that a lot of people felt were shots at Vince McMahon. And I'm not saying that she's necessarily trolling Vince McMahon, but there's an interesting dynamic going on with Sasha and Vince McMahon. I don't want to say it like this, but any of you out there ever dealt with an elderly person, even if they were still sharp as a knife, but you deal with an elderly person, and you kind of like rag on them and joke on them, you know, and you don't really mean anything terrible by it, but you really kind of like rag on them and something, and they know that they pretty much have to take it. You know, when Sasha was not on TV for a while back, not because of injury, but she was just, they didn't have much of for her. She posted a couple of cryptic tweets. You know, this is long after, you know, the infamous rug incident with her on the floor. But I'm going to put Sasha's Twitter up here for a second. I want to, what I show you now is not really cryptic, but I have something from Instagram that I'm going to show you in a minute. But, you know, this is Sasha's social media account right now. And, you know, I pay attention to emojis. You know, thank you, Vince McMahon, February 26th. And that was yesterday. All right. Okay. Maybe that has to do with the tag team titles. But this first emoji, you're like, I'm a little curious, like, why would you post that? You go to February 21st. Vinny, thank you. I had the best appearance ever. Can't wait for you. Can't wait for you all to see it. And people, when you click on this, people are like, okay, whenever Sasha writes something like this, you know, it cannot be good. You know, if you actually go down here, people were wondering, like, why did she write something like this? Then you go down and you see she wasn't even in Elimination Chamber. This is right around Elimination Chamber time. And then you could go down a little bit further, you know. It's a weird relationship with Vince McMahon. I mean, there's some, but anyway. All right, so let's get out of here. She posted something on Instagram that I know you all are going to... Stefan, she's been thanking him for a while, but she posted this on Instagram, and I can't help but to think this is directed to Vince McMahon. Look at this clip that she posted. Now, just look at it quickly. Now, I'm not going to post the audio of it because it's just basically a kid crying. But if you picture this as Sasha Banks and you picture the person with the hand, Vince McMahon, this is what she posted on Instagram. Oh, wait. Let's go back. Let's go back. I got to start it from the beginning. All right, here you go. Hey, you got a kid crying. Look. That's Sasha crying. I'm not getting an opportunity. Oop, but there's money. Look, money. Sasha, money. Look, money. Moolah, money.
Hey, yeah.
Money, dollar bill, y'all. Money. Seriously, you don't think That's as this is her trolling Vince McMahon a little bit. I got your ass in the palm of my hand. Look, I'm crying. I'm not getting opportunity. Look, money. Look, Benjamins. She posted this on Instagram. You mean to tell me that's not her complaining? Vince just hands me money and makes me happy. One more time. Vince, I'm not getting a push. Will this make it better? Shut up. Oh, look, look. Yeah, I'll team with Naomi. Sure, sure. That's what, I don't know. Somebody asked me, because this Sunday night is about all of you asking questions, is Sasha trolling a little bit Vince McMahon? Again, you know, that weird relationship where, you know, like, Chris got a good laugh out of it. Yes, this show's about to have fun. It's about having fun, sharing a couple of laughs. By the way, in the community section, if you'd like to take part, based on the great response we had with Solomonst on Thursday, who would you like to see as a guest next? I asked everyone to limit it to one or two names because I want to see who you truly want. You know, not everybody followed that, but if you were forced to pick only one name or two names, I want to know, like, who's at the top of your list. That doesn't necessarily mean that they will be willing to come on. But Jim Cornette is a wild choice that a lot of people have. I don't think he would come on. JD from New York, it'd be very interesting. I would love to debate him some topics. Would there be friction? No. Of course, we disagree on a lot of shit. I don't know if people would tune into that thinking that, you know, like DT haters will get, I'll get my ass handed to me, and JD haters, he'll get his ass. That's not the intention. The intention is to have a fun conversation. And, you know, I go back at a time where, you know, me and my friends used to hang out and talk wrestling, and we used to, who's your favorite? Get the fuck. And we would just rag on each other. Everybody would have different opinions. You know, I loved Hogan. Somebody loved Piper. I love Hogan. Somebody loves Savage. I love Warrior. This person loves Hogan. This person hated, you know, I mean, even Backlund towards the end of his reign by 1983, a lot of people wanted to see him drop that title because it just got really, really tiresome. Some people still really, really loved the guy. But, you know, it would be friendly conversation. Just keep in mind, one very important thing when you post your picks. If you notice with Jason, I didn't have an interview. I'm not looking to do interviews because anybody could do an interview. Oh, what was the moment that you decided you wanted to be a pro wrestler? You mean to tell me that person has not said it? You know, because some people said Killer Cross. I'd love to have Killer Cross on. I'm sure he would come on. But I don't want to come up here like, what made you decide to become a professional wrestler? You know, because I'm sure he's answered that 50 times before. You know, I want to have just casual convo. And that's why I think everything with Solomonst works so great. It was not about having an interview. You know, when he appeared with Chris Van Vliet, I watched it and I thought it was great. That was an interview. You know, Chris does interviews. I don't do interviews. I would do interviews with the right person, obviously, but keep that in mind when you choose someone because, you know, based on the person, I'm not looking for it to be an interview. What made you do, you know, you ask a question here and there, but, you know, but a lot of people were picking JD. A lot of people were picking Cornette. Some people, I saw Sean Ross Sapp's name come up a few times. I personally don't think. I think that guy's got me muted. You know, there was a time that I did not like his stuff at all. He grew on me. And then I realized, okay, he is legit. And I actually started enjoying his work. But, you know, there's quite a few people I think that have me muted out there. So I can't do the Chris smile right now. I got my whole side of my mouth is swollen. So what else you guys want to talk about? Should we take some calls? Because we're already about 45 minutes in. Obviously, you know, we're only going to stay here tonight for a little over an hour. you know, tomorrow night, you know, I'm going to be on with Mish, and then Tuesday is episode 5,000. So Tuesday is going to be, you know, a lighthearted, rapid-fire episode. And again, I will post it online for everybody to check out. Just keep in mind, it's audio only. It's not video. I will not have Brad Shepherd on. No. No. Definitely not happening. You know, there's a few people that I absolutely have no interest in bringing on. So, you know what? A few people mentioned Meltzer. I wouldn't mind bringing Dave Meltzer on. The problem is, like, what is there really to talk about? You know, and if you're going to say to me, oh, you could debate him about his appreciation for Japanese, I don't have a problem with him being such a huge fan of AEW Japanese wrestling. No, it's not a requirement that if you're a wrestling fan that you have to follow Dave Meltzer. If you don't like his, you know, him being, you know, leaning towards AEW and not liking anything WWE, if that bothers you, you don't tune into him. And I don't think Dave Meltzer would be interested on going on anybody's show to explain himself. So that's not, I'm not going to be the messenger to grill. If I was him, I would just disconnect the call. No, thank you. DT, no, thank you. So, you know, I have no problem with Dave Meltzer. I really don't. And again, you know, a lot of people don't realize, and I brought this up before, you know, when I was doing the drive for Conan, he, next to Bill Apter, those two guys posted everything that I asked them to post. Other places just ignored it. Other places buried it because they didn't like me. Disliking me was more important than trying to get as much money and help to Conan as possible when we did that drive way back when. Dave Meltzer stepped up. When Chris Candido passed and we did the drive to raise money for, and then we did the benefit show for Chris Candido, when I contacted Dave Meltzer and I was doing the shirts and a donation drive, Dave Meltzer sent me 100 Wrestling Observer newsletters paying tribute to Chris Candido. Everybody that bought a shirt through my website, the first 100, got a free newsletter. Now, I know you're going to say to me, oh, it's just paper. It's not the point. You know, 100 newsletters, I didn't ask for them. He's like, here. He's like, you know, maybe they would enjoy, you know, getting one. Yeah, maybe he got a couple of subscriptions out of it, but that was not his intention. The guy has done some pretty generous things over the years that nobody pays attention to. So I'm one of those weird people out there that I like Meltzer, I like Russo, I now like Cornette, which took me a very long time to get behind. But no, he's done some good things, man. It's just people don't know about it. So yeah, I bring Chaos on, absolutely. Chaos is a friend of the family over here. Chaos is a friend of the family. So, should we continue to chat in the chat room, or should we take some calls? What should we do? Because, like I said, we're going to get out of here soon because we got a show tomorrow. We got a busy week coming up. And a few people asked, am I going to have a shirt for episode 5,000? I thought about it, and the answer is no. It's a cool milestone, don't get me wrong, but I never celebrated episode 100, 1,000, 2,500. I never celebrated any of them. So I'm not one to celebrate milestones, you know. But I will say this. Okay, everybody's saying chat it up. Let's continue the chatting. Yeah, chat it up. I'm fine with that. I'm cool with it. I'm not one to celebrate those things. It's like business as usual. But I will say this, and I said this yesterday too. With Solomon's Dawn Thursday, it felt like a pay-per-view. It felt like an event. It felt different. And I'll tell you a little behind-the-scenes thing with Solomon, so you get a kick out of. No joke. He'll tell you I'm not exaggerating at all. So, me, I had a template made up You know, and I'm going to continue using that template. In fact, I'm going to tweak it, you know, when I'm on with Mitch too. I love the look of it. I love the yellow. I mean, obviously I don't have it queued up for tonight, but I love the colors behind it. I wanted something vibrant and I wanted something clean. So if I have other guests on, all I got to do is change the logo, change the name, you know, I have it saved. But, you know, I wanted to make it as easy as possible for Solomon's Day. Connect, do the show, disconnect, you know, split any super chats that came in, which I already did. In fact, he got a little more than I did, but he deserved it, obviously. And he didn't ask for it. Let me make this clear. He didn't ask for it. But anyway, so about 2-3 hours before we go live, I DM him the link. I'm like, okay, look, all you got to do is click this link. It's going to ask you for a password. You type in this password, and that's it. I have the connection. I tested everything. It works beautifully. About an hour and a half before we go live, he DMs me back. He says, I can't connect on the video. He says, I'm having a problem. And I had almost a panic attack. I'm like, it can't be. It can't be. I have vMix. I paid crazy money to have this extra. So I don't use Streamlabs and I don't use OBS. And the reason why I've been using vMix is because it's supposed to be simpler. It's supposed to be more reliable. I haven't had any issues since the early days of starting. And most of those problems were my own doing. So I'm like, can't be, can't be. So now I'm going online and I'm searching everywhere, like cannot connect video. The audio is fine. And I'm like, oh my God, this is going to be an ultimate disaster. I've been hyping this up. He's been hyping it up. He comes on and it's audio only. It's going to be a disaster. So now I start, no joke, he'll tell you, I start going on Zoom. I bought the professional version of Zoom a year and a half ago. I've never used it. I got Zoom. And I'm like, can I use Zoom and somehow integrate it with vMix? So now I'm watching YouTube videos literally an hour before the show starts. I'm watching YouTube videos, how to splice Zoom into you. So I figure, okay, I'll connect to Jason with Zoom. And then I'll put Zoom into the program. And then the program will go out to everyone and everything will be fine. So I'm learning and it's telling me, okay, you need to reload this and install this. And I installed what? What's the program? I got it right here. I installed... I think it's NFT Tools. Is it NFT Tools? NDI Tools. I install NDI 5, and I'm changing all these settings in my vMix. I don't know what the hell I'm doing. And I'm about halfway through the video, and all of a sudden, I look at the screen. Psh, Jason pops up. And I'm like, Solomon, so what's going on? He's like, yeah, he figured out what the problem was. And I was like, oof. And at the same time, I'm like, all right, now I got to reverse everything I just did. I got to remove this and disconnect this and this and that. And it was crazy. But he was able to connect. And then at 8 o'clock, we did the show. But it was so freaking funny, man. It was so fun. I was sweating bullets. All right, Darren Gordon Hill. This show's about, let's chat. Gruss, Darren Gordon Hill. Oh, he's addressing Mr. Rubio. Yes, from now on, put a Q before your question because I could spot it a little bit easier. In fact, let's do this. We could do something like this. Yeah, we could do something like this. Yeah, with good questions. With good questions, I could add them to Qs. Yes, we could add them to Qs. All right, we got a couple of questions added to Qs. Gruss, what would the WWE do if Brock or Roman catch COVID before WrestleMania? Honestly, I think these son of a bitches are going to be locked up a couple of days before in a room, not going to be around many people, and they are going to take every precaution they possibly get. That's a good freaking question, man. Because yesterday when we talked about unifying the belts, and by the way, thank you everybody for your response. A lot of people agree with what I said, and quite a few of you disagreed. Unifying those titles hurts opportunities for people like Big E, Bobby Lashley, Drew McIntyre, and others in the future. Now you only got one championship instead of two. And the way WWE is doing things, Nick Khan, and being spectacle over substance in a lot of ways, You don't think Brock and Roman are going to have a stranglehold on a heavyweight title for a lot of months, if not year or so, to come? So I think the only way any of those guys are going to break through is if somebody gets an injury. We talked about that yesterday, but that's a great question. What would the WWE do if one of them had COVID? Look, if they get hit COVID, you know, you're going to have to obviously, look, one thing I think is clear is WWE definitely has a backup plan. They definitely have a backup plan that if anything happens to either one of those guys, somebody is aside to take that spot. Whether it be Seth Rollins, whether it be Big E, whether it be anybody, except for Lashley, because of injury. They definitely have a backup plan. That's one thing that WWE does do. I wish Cornette, in fact, I don't send questions to Jim Cornette, but if I were any of you, maybe he's answered this before. Maybe you send in a question and ask him, say, you know, did they have backup plans, you know, in case right before an event somebody got an injury? You know, did they have backup plans for WrestleMania main events? They do. And I think Tony Khan from the Matt Hardy Guevara match, I think they now have backup plans because no one is going to convince me otherwise. When they did that stupid stipulation that if Matt loses, that he must leave AEW, like literally a couple of months after he joined, it was not necessary. Tony, we like your product. We're going to watch it anyway. That did not spark anybody to tune, oh my God, Matt might have to leave. And then what happens? He takes that crazy bump, and you know, Sammy can't pin him. Then you'd have to leave AEW. You're not going to tell me otherwise. They forced that match to go, and we'll never know the truth unless there is a huge falling out and Matt Hardy decides to spill the tea and say something otherwise. This, you know, this is not a bad question. Let me pull this one up. Let's pull up the queue. Where's my queue? Here's my queue. Somebody asked about WrestleMania. Hold on. This is a little new when I do this. Okay, view all. This was a great question. Let's add this. Oh, I added it up already. Michael Gonzalez. What was the greatest WrestleMania so far? Oh, you can't compare them. You can't compare them. You go back in the annals of history, people would say WrestleMania 1. If you know the story behind WrestleMania 1, you know that Vince basically put his whole company on the line. And, you know, obviously them taking over TBS and getting money from that, you know, finance part of WrestleMania. If everybody has different views. Some people may say WrestleMania 17 is an excellent choice. Some people would say WrestleMania 3. It's different to each person. And that question could be interpreted so many different ways. For me, I would say, it might sound like a cop-out, but I would say WrestleMania 1. Because if it would have failed, we don't know what would have happened to WWE if it would have failed. We don't know. I think by now we would have had mega events, but I don't know if they would have been called WrestleMania. So it started a chain of events. So, Fly, would I do a live show in front of a small group of people? Believe it or not, I was going to go to, it was a C2E2 in Chicago. I was going to go to the Chiller Convention a couple of years back. And C2E2 was more with the idea of actually doing a little show, a little Q&A in front of a small group of people. But I think they originally cut the time from like an hour to like 30 minutes. And then they wouldn't give me a press pass. And I was like, man, fuck you. You know, not anybody who helped, but I'm like, I ain't fucking kissing ass. I've been doing this for so, that's why, like, I keep getting people saying to me about being, like, Twitter verified and stuff like that. I see what's going on right now with Charlie Haas. Charlie Haas can't even get verified on Twitter. And I'm like, I got 25. I'm not saying that I'm bigger than Charlie Haas, but I got 25 years of history doing stuff. And it's not even just the wrestling stuff. And I put in a request or two a while back, and it just got shot down. I was like, man, don't you cut my shit down. I just have no interest. Seriously. At this stage, I do this. I have a ball. It makes me happy, and I want to continue doing it. It makes me happy. So, yeah, I would love to do it in front of a group of people. We did it in front of a group of people a couple of years ago at Lucky 13. That literally was, on stage, it was kind of like a podcast episode. We were talking wrestling, answering questions. And Sol Monster showed up that night too, which was pretty funny. Yeah, I would do it. Absolutely. That's not bad. Benjamin is asking, have I heard anything about why Toni Storm quit? Yeah, she quit because she was unhappy. I know a lot of people feel she was homesick. I know a lot of people are waiting for her to come out with this controversial interview that is going to tell all. I think Toni Storm just didn't enjoy the WWE grind. It's not made for everybody. It's almost every wrestler's fantasy to become a WWE superstar, get that fame, get that money. But for some, that grind is not what some are looking for. And we don't know if there was one particular episode. Hell, you heard about that, interview that Renee did with FTR, with Dax. And he revealed about, the stuff with Shawn Michaels. Nobody knew about that publicly. And, there could be a particular incident that just set Toni Storm off. And I was like, that's it. I'm done. I'm out of here. Or she could have been homesick. Or she just couldn't, maybe something with COVID that maybe she was nervous and didn't want to be back. We don't know. One thing is for certain, she was not happy. She was not happy. I don't want to speculate. I don't want to speculate. I remember when people speculated about what's his face? Marcus Carvone. What was his name in TNA? But Marcus Carvone. Pounce. The Pounce. When he left, we found out pretty quickly the reason why he left wrestling. He had to take care of someone in his family who was ill. But at that time, you'd be surprised. You'd be surprised. Monty Brown, thank you. You'd be surprised how many people just went off the rails trying to figure out why he quit, and they got it wrong. They got it wrong. Calling all marks. Do I think it's possible Owen Hart was put in the Blue Blazer gimmick was a rib or punishment for injuring Austin? No, he had the Blue Blazer gimmick back in the 80s. It was supposed to be a spoof on superheroes. It was like a mock on superheroes. I don't think it had anything to rib Austin. Owen Hart was beloved by his coworkers, were beloved by management. Owen Hart, truly. I mean, look, people that have passed away that we enjoy, their sainthood gets bigger and bigger and bigger as time goes by. You look at it, anybody, it doesn't have to just be wrestling, but people that we really liked, that was well-liked, that pass early on, as years go by, their sainthood gets bigger and bigger. In the case of Owen Hart, anything that you hear about now, it's not an exaggeration. He was beloved. They were not punishing Owen Hart, in my opinion. What happened with Austin was an accident. Accidents do happen in wrestling. And no, he had Blue Blazer in the 80s, and it was kind of like a mock of superheroes. So, great follow-up question here about Owen. I can't find it because I don't think the person put the Q before. Believe me, it stands out. It helps a lot more. I can't find the question now. Okay, I found this. James, Owen Hart was not going to be WWE champion, WWF champion, whatever you want to call it. He was not going to be champion. I know, you know, people have said that as years went by. I didn't work for WWE, but I remember clear and concise what was going on at the time. And, you know, Brett had left. And I remember when Owen Hart came through the crowd and, you know, going at it with Triple H. You got, if you understand that era, nobody was breaking through those top guys. Maybe if Owen would have been featured for an extended period of time, but no. I mean, I could honestly tell you also, Friends, Hotline I was doing, you didn't have this plethora of people saying, oh, Owen Hart's got to be WWE champion. They got to put the belt on Owen. Nobody was saying that. They didn't say it about Brian Pillman either. I mean, don't get me wrong. I freaking loved Brian Pillman. Brian Pillman was one of my favorite wrestlers in the 90s. Had all of his t-shirts. I called 1-900-909-PILL. I still remember the number by heart. Shh. You might learn something you're not supposed to. You know, but no, it's people just, you know, they become even larger than life in death than they were alive. He was not going to be heavyweight champion. Michael, I'm actually watching tonight a little bit of The Peacemaker. By the way, I got the autographed photos. Maybe we'll give away a couple next week. I haven't opened the envelope yet. The envelope's inside, and I'm not going to get it now because I have no pants on. I have boxer shorts. I have shorts on. I mean, you know, you really can't see anything if I get up and go, but it's unprofessional to just get up and walk out and get an envelope. Maybe I'll open them. No, I won't open them live tomorrow because sometimes when I put stuff up here, you know, I don't want it to seem like, oh, look what I got for all of you. And, you know, Mish doesn't have, it's not, we don't do that on the shows. It's ours to give away. And, you know, I don't like doing that. So I'll show you later on this week, but I did get them, but I am going to watch a little Peacemaker tonight. Ben is asking, why is Sasha being downgraded into a tag team? I wouldn't call it downgraded. Ben, I've been talking about Sasha Banks going for the tag titles at WrestleMania for a month. Just because it's now news doesn't mean we haven't talked about it already. We talked about it a month ago. They want to put some legitimacy back in those tag titles. I'm not saying that Carmella and Zelina are not legitimate. Sure, they're not on the same level as Sasha and Naomi and others, but they want to put some stronger names behind those titles. Sasha Banks was one of those names. As I said yesterday, I'm still not convinced that Naomi is going to end up going for this title unless something changes with this Sonya Deville storyline. After all this time in storyline, after all this time, why would Sonya Deville allow Naomi to go for the tag titles? So is this a swerve in the end? And Bayley ends up going for the titles with Sasha after all? Or do we get some type of storyline where Sonya Deville is overridden and Naomi can go for that title and Naomi gets rewarded? And I personally think Sasha and Naomi as tag champions is pretty damn good. I mean, you can't be the main event, the center of attraction, the singular champion all the time. Some people have to take a little backseat for a little while. So I don't consider it really a downgrade. Bash is asking me, what do I think about Nikita Lyons? Well, I'll say it like this, and I talked about this on Patreon last Tuesday. She was the lioness in WoW. She didn't come up from under the ground. It's not like you planted some seeds and it sprouted Nikita Lyons with her curvatures, say it nicely. She was on the radar for yours truly back when she appeared on 205 Live. When she appeared on 205 Live, I wanted to get familiar with her a little bit more, and I did not watch much of the current women of wrestling. And it was Mish that brought it to my attention. And I looked at some of her work in women of wrestling. I was like, wow, she could actually go. She could actually go. That's why it was interesting when they were trying to figure out what her character was going to be, and she's in the studio singing, and then next thing you know, she's like being violent, this and that. Like, I thought it would be funny if you do a combination of both, where she's on auto-tune, and she's like, I'm going to kick your ass, and she's flipping nunchucks. I'm going to shove it so far up, you know. But she had a fun debut, and the pin is what got everybody's attention. Everybody's like, you could pin me like that any day of the week. She's actually pretty damn good in the ring. Is she ready for main roster? No. No. But she's pretty good. She's pretty good. I like her work. You know, again, you know, she didn't just come out of nowhere. I mean, you know, people, I don't blame some people that didn't know anything about her, because not everybody tunes into 205 Live. Not everybody tunes into Women of Wrestling. But there's enough footage out there to seek it out. And she's impressive. I like her. She's thick and flexible. I do not like this idea at all. If Bayley comes back, have a team with Sonya and have a three. Why would she team with Sonya? You have Sonya team with Shayna Baszler, if that's what you're going to do. But no, is Bayley going to be ready in time for WrestleMania? That's the question. And if she's ready in time for WrestleMania, obviously she's got to have a high-profile match. It's not going to be against Charlotte or Ronda Rousey. It's not going to be against Bianca Belair and Becky Lynch, unless Bayley shows up and lays out Bianca Belair after she wins the title, which I don't see happening, because Bianca's going to get her WrestleMania moment 2 years in a row, and I don't think it's going to be overshadowed by her being laid out after her win. Darren, I wouldn't call everybody here marks, but yeah, I think some people do need to realize that your favorites cannot always be the center of attention. You know, I was joking with somebody yesterday. Look at Jay Lethal once again. I mean, when do we start seeing the flurries of posts on social media? Like, oh, Tony, you know, what the fuck you doing with Jay Lethal again? Look at Andrade. Andrade, he's outside the ring. He's turning into my favorite wrestler in AEW. Friday was his first ever title match in AEW. That son of a bitch is going to be there a whole year. And if you add up the number of times he's been on Dynamite inside the ring, this motherfucker, man, he is just one genius mofo, the way he inked out his deal with AEW. Talk about doing almost nothing. Oh, my God. But, you know, look, you know, a lot of our favorites cannot be the center of attention all the time. Drew McIntyre is going up against Corbin. That's been the plan for a little while. I know we don't want to see that, but, you know, maybe Madcap Moss and Corbin have a falling out at Mania. And maybe, you know, Moss walks away to Cheers. Maybe Corbin lays out Moss after Corbin loses at Mania. But I think that split with Moss and Corbin is happening soon. Corbin will remain the heel, obviously. Moss will be the babyface. They are so high on Moss, and I did end up watching what Paul Heyman said about Moss. That company sees some major, major future with Moss. That guy ends up getting released. That'll be one of the more surprising releases in 2022. Dennis Slusher, what an interesting scenario. What if Cody shows up on Pat McAfee's show with Vince McMahon? It's interesting. Look, I posted on Twitter a couple of days ago a little poll. Do you want to see Pat McAfee versus Cody Rhodes at WrestleMania? I think a majority of you out there said no. I still feel you debut Cody the night after WrestleMania. It would be really interesting to see Cody come back, but if he has a match with Pat McAfee, simply because of what Pat said recently on an interview. First of all, if you rehash that, AEW's name is going to keep being brought up. AEW, AEW, AEW. And I don't think WWE really wants that. So I would not rehash Pat McAfee and Cody. Because even if that does lead to a match at Mania, and then what? Then what do you do with Cody? I personally think you bring Cody out the night after WrestleMania. The only question is, what are you going to do with him? Who is he going to feud with? No, WWE for now is going to have one unified champion. And again, like I said yesterday, be careful what you wish for, because a lot of people, and I said for a long time too, have one champion. But now when you see that Brock and Roman have the stranglehold on those belts, and you see how people are complaining about the way they handled Big E and others, you think having one championship instead of two is going to help those guys? No. So I'm not happy about the unified title. Obviously, one of those two guys is going to take some time off, like I've been saying on this show for about 5 weeks now. So we'll see what happens. But how long someone would be a unified, you know, it would be interesting. It'd be too bad Cody didn't leave AEW as a champion. I know he dropped the TNT interim championship. Well, he had the regular one, but would have been something if Cody left and was still TNT champion. That would have been 1991 all over again with Ric Flair, just or 92, whatever, whichever year it was. When you imagine Cody showing up on WWE television with the TNT championship, and this is the only championship that I mean, obviously it's a much lower title compared to Ric Flair's belt. But, oh, man, that would have been funny. But, no, I would have Cody come back the night after WrestleMania. We're going to get that announcement Wednesday with Tony Khan. And I think it does involve a promotion. I really do. If it ends up being Rampage with 2 hours, like I said yesterday, I'll be fine with that. But I think it's bigger than that. I think he, you know, I threw the name Terminus out there yesterday. Nobody threw that name. Do I really think that'll end up being? Probably not. But, you know, I got an interesting response from a lot of you out there about the Terminus idea, saying, you know, actually it would be a pretty awesome idea. I did hear Cornette talking about control of narrative. And he's basically like, fuck these guys talking about that they have a TV deal, you know, set or whatever it is. They don't even have a fan base yet. Cody will get a reaction. It's not even, again, you know, a lot of people don't take a step back and think there's a lot of WWE fans that watch AEW and vice versa. Cody showing up on WWE television would be insane. It would feel a little surreal as well. I don't expect Stardust to make a return, though. Do I think Tony Khan is getting very annoying? Bash, I don't know how often you tune into these shows, but I've been saying for a while, forget about the forbidden door, worry about the revolving door. I've compared AEW to a Cracker Jack box, to a cereal box, to scratch-off tickets, to holiday gifts, birthday gifts. We all like surprises. We all want to unwrap a surprise and get something that we weren't expecting. You don't want, you know, people to always depend on surprises. That the only way you could get, you know, an influx of viewers is if you tease and tease and tease and tease. And the Forbidden Door happened because of COVID. And if it wasn't because of COVID, why did it get shut down exactly 1 year afterwards? when COVID started to show a lot of improvement. This was simply them trying to work together to survive through a pandemic. Some promotions were unable to have live crowds. This was everybody trying to help each other. And AEW was the one with the biggest pockets. And they were willing. Look, Tony Khan and AEW definitely deserve credit for be willing to work with some other companies. If COVID would have broke out in 1984, COVID would have broke out in 84, and a lot of those indie feds and a lot of those other promotions, AWA and others, were all, you know, shut down because of COVID in 84. And they met with Vince McMahon, like, Vince, you know, can we do something together? You know, I could have Nick Bockwinkel show up on, you know, WWF Championship Wrestling, and he could confront your new champion, Hulk Hogan. You think Vince McMahon would turn around and say, I could beat a forbidden door. Vince would say, get out! Out! Like Ralph Cramden, out! I don't think Vince McMahon would have been willing to work with these companies. So I give Tony Khan credit. You imagine if COVID would have broke out in 84? Vince would have been like 30, 40 years from now, when history looks back, you think about all those shoot interviews and all those documentaries you all have seen over the decades. Vince McMahon killed all the territories. He bought all these people out. He shut down Stu Hart's promotion. He shut down AWA. He went to other areas. He infiltrated territories. Vince in 84 would have been like, COVID, you're doing my work for me. 40 years from now, we could blame it on a virus. We don't have to blame it on me. Oh, my God. Could you imagine if COVID? You know what? At least I wouldn't have heard Van Halen's jump 180,000 times on radio. Might as well. And I liked Van Halen. Hot for Teacher. I got it made, got it made, got it made. I'm hot for teacher. See, you can't make that up. Did you ever hear me even make a Van Halen reference on these shows? There's a lot of, is that a Twisted Sister pin on your uniform? Oh, my God. You guys out there have no idea what it was like being a teenager in the 80s, not having Sirius Satellite, not having online digital media. You were forced to listen to radio unless you had your cassette tapes and ultimately CDs. Every time, because I worked in my dad's grocery store in the middle 80s, and every time I would be in that grocery store, it was like every hour on the hour, you would hear Van Halen jump, you would hear Wham's Careless Whisper. I swear to God, I had nothing personal against those guys, but if I would have ever seen George Michael in the street, I would have been like, hey, George, punch him right in the air. Yeah, try to whisper now, motherfucker. I couldn't stand that stuff. Couldn't stand it. Oh, that was painful. Living on a Prayer was, you know what? That was a little annoying, but they didn't air it as much because that was a little bit later on. That wasn't 84. That was a couple of years later. But, oh my God, the early 80s, it was brutal. It was brutal. At least now you got variety. I'm not sick of smoke and mirrors. I'm like got cotton mouth right now. I've been goggling on salt water all day long. By the way, I think a few of you are celebrating birthdays this week. Who's got birthdays coming up? Who's got birthdays? Want to shout out a couple of you that are having birthdays. I think Dorian Mesa just had a birthday. Kevon Lewis, I think, is having a birthday tomorrow. See, I pay attention, everybody. Olivia Newton-John, that song Physical. You know, it was an okay song. When I watched the music video, the only problem with that music video, if I remember correctly, is they all had leotards on. Like, I want to see skin. I want to see hints of camel toe, even as a teenager, a young teenager. They were all wearing, like, spandex, and everything was covered up. Dante, you have plenty of time to celebrate your birthday. Same thing with Doug. Yeah, you see, that's proof that I went through all this crap. Because after all of these years, the fact that I could still think about Olivia Newton-John wearing leotards and no sign of any skin, I think the only skin showing was on her face. She could have went, she could have performed at Elimination Chamber with that outfit. And Saudi Arabia would be like, oh yeah, that's fine. That passed through our guidelines. Seriously. That music video could have been on the screen. And Saudi Arabia would have been perfectly fine with it. Elizabeth turns 59 on Wednesday. That's awesome. Happy birthday. Happy birthday. Sam's birthday was last week on the 23rd. Calling All Marks had the same birthday as Ric Flair. Wow, such a sad anniversary. Right around Ric Flair's birthday is the anniversary. I didn't realize that. That same anniversary, the anniversary of the passing of his son. That was so sad, man. That was sad. I mean, you know, we talked pretty explicit about it. I remember the three faces of Reed. Remember when I posted that? It was three mugshots, and you could just see, when you looked at his mugshots, Reed, side by side by side, you see him deteriorating. I mean, really deteriorating. And, you know, I think, and this is kind of difficult to say, when you get older, you know, you're a little bit more careful with your words, but I think deep down inside, I think Ric Flair probably, it's so hard, man, to lose a family member, but I think Ric Flair at times might have a little guilt that if he wasn't Ric Flair, then maybe some of the law enforcement in North Carolina may have been a little bit sterner with Reed and not just, ah, oh, that's Ric Flair's son, you know, give him a little bit of a break. So, but then again, you see what happened with Jerry Lawler's son. I mean, he, you know, didn't get a break and he took his life. I mean, you know, it's so hard. It's so hard, man. It's rough. Very rough. I'm not trying to bring anybody down. I mean, it's definitely something that needs to be brought up. Needs to be brought up. I mean, look, that just shows you what addiction. That shows you what addiction could do to someone. Even, you know, like someone like Tammy, that a lot of people, she rubs a lot of people the wrong way. You know, it's still addiction is addiction. And addiction comes in all shapes and sizes. It hurts good people. It hurts bad people. It does not discriminate. And that's why I can't joke about it. I mean, you nod your head when somebody, trust me, everybody runs to me now. Did you hear what happened to Tammy? And I'm like, oh, God. And then I go on my social media and there's three DMs from friends. She did it again. And I'm like, oh, God. It's like, Jesus, you know, how many breaks do you get? How many chances do you get? How do you throw away that kind of money on OnlyFans? Take a zero off of the amount of money that she makes, and I'd still be ecstatic with it. If you said to me, DT, you could have her OnlyFans account right now, you could take it, but you have to take a zero off, which means you get, you know, less. I'd still be happy with it. How do you throw that away for alcohol? And you know what? It's not illegal to drink alcohol. Don't get behind the fucking wheel. Call an Uber. Call a limousine. Call 888-8888 or whatever it is. Why does she have to drive? She can have her cocktails. She doesn't have to get behind the wheel. And let me tell you something. You know, the incidents that she had with her boyfriend, you know, there was alcohol involved. Well, alcohol turns her into, you know, it just ruins her. Ruins her. Sad. So, how long are we going? We're about 90 minutes. I think we're going to start bringing this home, everyone. Because, like I said, tomorrow we have a big show coming. We have Raw. Obviously, we're going to see the progression of the storylines for a few people. Next week, we have the tag team title match. So I expect Kevin Owens to run down Texas a little bit more. Every time Kevin Owens runs down Texas and really hard, just think about Steve Austin in the back of your mind. But Edge is going to be on Raw tomorrow, and expect AJ Styles to accept that challenge. So we should see that. Brock Lesnar, I don't know if he's on Raw tomorrow. I mean, there might be a possibility of Brock Lesnar not being on Raw tomorrow. He can't be on every single show. Tomorrow might be the Raw where he's not on. But we have the MSG show next Saturday. Brock Lesnar's not losing it. Brock Lesnar, I'd be surprised if he wrestles 90 minutes. Unless he just takes somebody to Suplex City. Maybe Austin Theory gets the shot. You know, I mean, I don't expect much to come out of it. Be interesting if we had like the Usos in a handicap match against Brock, but I don't think we'll see that either. So, but yeah, we'll have a few things to talk about tomorrow with Mish. And then again, you know, Tuesday will be episode 5,000. And again, it was not planned that way. It's just, we were looking at the calendar and I said, okay, if I take a show off here and a show off there, you know, it could land on this day, land on that day. And it ends up, we didn't take any shows off. So Tuesday is the day. So we'll have a regular show. It'll just be rapid fire format. We'll have some laughs. And I will post that audio for everybody online that, you know, just wants to hear us in a different element. So Sting or The Undertaker, depends on what you mean. If they had a match one-on-one, I think Undertaker has to win it. I think Undertaker has to win it. I love the fact that Sting could still go. Yes, at Revolution, he will be involved in another street fight because they don't want him to be bumping in the ring. So if he just walks around and just hits people and does a dive here and there, you know, within his means, they're content with that. I'm fine with that too. That hides what Sting cannot do anymore. Thank God that he has not injured himself. And I also realize that at any time, it could be Sting's last match. So I appreciate what Sting has done and what he is still doing. And I don't take it for granted because the next match could be his last. But if he went one-on-one with The Undertaker, I think The Undertaker would still need to come out on top, in my opinion, in my opinion. You know, it's funny. I always see this Mount Rushmore stuff. I see people putting Undertaker on there. And it really depends. If you're talking about characters and entertainers, I put him on there. But when they talk about just greatest wrestlers or the most important performers of our lifetime, I don't put Undertaker on Mount Rushmore because I have been a wrestling fan since he was the Soul Taker. Oh, no. Was he the Soul Taker? No, I think that was Papa Shango. But even before, when he was in USWA or he wrestled, we'll be safe, we'll say Mean Mark in WCW. When he became Undertaker, he obviously had moments where the focus was all on him. But did he ever lead WWE and he was the number one guy? Everything was revolved, maybe with the corporate ministry because of his deviousness and what he was doing to Stephanie and the feud with Austin. But as far as merchandise maker and as far as headlining pay-per-views, I'm telling you, it wasn't the Punisher. That definitely is not right. It's not the Texas Red, I do remember. Punisher sounds wrong. Wasn't a Punisher. I'm trying to remember what he was. I know Papa Shango was the Soul Taker. I can't remember his name. I can't remember what his name was. I think it was USWA at the time. It was not Mean Mark. You know, people are just guessing right now. They, oh, you mean Mark? No, He was, I can't remember what his name was in that promotion, but it was not, the Punisher just does not sound right. Trust me, if it was the Punisher, when I thought about it years later, I would have kept thinking about that freaking movie. Somebody right now is probably Googling it and getting it. But a lot of people still don't know to this day that when The Undertaker came in, his original name was Kane, The Undertaker. I love people who just make some wild guesses, man. If you're going to make a wild guess, be very creative with it. But some of the names. Yeah, one of his names is The Punisher, but that's not the name. Thank you, Twix. Thank you. The Master of Pain. Twix sometimes could say some out there stuff, but yeah, The Master of Pain. That's what it was. I know The Punisher didn't sound right, but Undertaker, I watched. I popped when he beat Hogan for the belt, even though Ric Flair put the chair in there. I still enjoyed it. And I remember when they did that goofy thing with The Undertaker with the American flag. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that, but they tried to make him like USA and stuff. You know, people are like, no, dead man. I don't want to see red, white, and blue on The Undertaker. American badass corporate ministry. But when you look at that, he was, you know, compliment to others. He was very, very important. But if you look at the Attitude Era, not much would have changed if Undertaker was not in there. It would have changed dramatically if Austin was not on there. It would have changed dramatically if Rock was not on there. It would have changed dramatically in the 80s. And even early 90s, if Hogan was not in the WWF, and I would argue to say it would have changed substantially if Cena was not around the last 20 years. Undertaker, though, honestly, some beautiful storylines would never have happened, but not much would have changed in the overall scope. So when I see people put Undertaker for characters, definitely belongs on Mount Rushmore. As far as money-making, merchandise, revenue, ticket sales, I wouldn't put Undertaker in the Mount Rushmore. But I do agree that Undertaker deserves, you know, as much appreciation as he gets now. I mean, that guy was a lifer. Once he went to WWE, even in the bad times, he never left. He never wavered. He always was there for Vince. And man, I hope we get a picture of Vince and Undertaker with a nice hug. I know that might sound a little bit cheesy, but I hope we get one. I hope we get one. And I'd love for it to be a little video clip, not just a still shot. So, all right, we are going to jet out of here. Jeff is saying, what's his legacy? How do you answer that in 30 seconds? How do you answer that in 30 seconds? Undertaker was one of the most important, colorful characters in wrestling. You think about how cheesy wrestling can get over the years. People now, you know, you think of Eddie Kingston. We're not sports entertainment. You got fucking Danhausen doing curses on people. You got a dinosaur. You got others. You look at WWE, they have their shit as well. And to think, after all these decades, that someone playing a dead man, that people would respect it, not mock it, not make fun of it. They respect that guy through and through. And, you know, I think political views differ than a lot of fans out there, and they do put it aside. Undertaker is one of the most important characters in wrestling over the last 30 plus years. But as far as main eventer, you know, it's one step below. He is one of the main eventers, but he was not, like I said, you pull Undertaker out of the Attitude Era. Sure, there's a lot of moments that I would miss, that you would miss, that would suck if he wasn't a part of it. But the Attitude Era would have continued just fine. You take away Austin McMahon, you take away Rock from there, much different scenario. You take Hogan out of the 80s, much different scenario. And I would, like I said, I would argue you take Cena out of the last 20 years, much different scenario. But with Undertaker, you know, it's hard to think that, you know, there would have been a major shift in the Monday Night Wars if the Undertaker was not part of it. But it doesn't mean, Darren, you could disagree. It's fine. I mean, I'm not everybody's going to agree with what I'm saying. He is one of the most important, colorful characters in the world of pro wrestling. And there are fans that went just to see Undertaker. I'm not taking that away from him. But when you look at the overall scope of pro wrestling, the amount of money that was made and ticket sales, revenue, and everything else, I would not put Undertaker in the top four. I'm not saying that Undertaker is not top 10, but if you're forcing me to limit it to four, my lifetime as a wrestling fan from 1979 to now, you know, you tell me who are the four biggest wrestlers that were important for pro wrestling. I would put Austin in there. I would put Rock in there. I would put Hogan in there. The fourth person, it's hard. Again, I'm not talking about talented wrestlers, because then you got to think about Ric Flair, and then you got to think about Bret Hart. And in for the last 15 plus years, some people would argue Bryan Danielson. I'm talking about the overall scope of the pro wrestling business, the amount of money that was made. Undertaker is top 10. I don't know if he's top four. That's a debate that should always continue. It's a fun discussion to have. I'm just giving my opinion on it. It doesn't mean that I'm right. I'm just telling you why I feel Undertaker is top 10. But is he top four? Post your comments in the comments section. I'm going to jet out of here. So I thank you all for joining me tonight. Fun discussion. Hey, you all wanted to chat instead of doing calls. That's fine with me. You know, I'm cool with it no matter what. If you have any follow-up questions that you would like for me to answer, post it in the comments section. Post your feedback. If you know anyone out there that might like the channel, let them know about it. I'm shocked how many people that follow Solomonster that said, I didn't even know you were doing shows anymore. I mean, it's kind of like odd to hear that still. But still, if you know anyone out there you think that might enjoy the channel, let them know about it. I try to have every day have a different theme to it. Mondays is mostly Raw. Wednesdays is NXT and AEW for the most part. Thursdays is usually for the channel members, Q&A. Saturdays is like the flagship show where we get into the most important topics of discussion for the week. Talk a little SmackDown and Rampage. Sundays, complete chat, live calls, you know, combination thereof, you know, whatever's on your mind that you want to talk about. After the week is over, we look back at the week and we get into some things, and then it starts all over again on Monday. So on the way out, if you enjoyed the show, do one of these for yours truly. And I hope you could join me Monday night, 11:05 p.m., right after Raw. Thank you, my friends. Great show as always. Much love. Love hanging out with you guys. And I am going to start looking into the after hours idea. Because if we could do an after hours, whether it's here or we just tell everyone, let's get on the bus, let's go over to Discord, then we can do that. I definitely don't mind doing that. We end the show, click a couple of buttons, and we could do like a little after party afterwards. So I will definitely look into that. So this way, anybody that still wants to have a little discussion and feel that the show may have ended a little bit too early for them, that's something that we'll definitely look into. So, and Sam is asking me before we go, how could I forget Andre the Giant? Andre the Giant died in 1993, if I remember correctly. Andre the Giant by WrestleMania 3 was way beyond his prime. He didn't have much to do in WrestleMania 1. So Andre is a beloved wrestler. Yeah. Mount Rushmore? No. No. By that time, wrestling got that big. Andre the Giant, unfortunately, could not do what he used to do. Andre was a special attraction. Andre was beloved. Andre was not... the big moneymaker, headline merchandise seller, ticket seller. He complimented it. So, all right, everybody, be well. Talk to you soon.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody-good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the hosts. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're gonna get rid of you. It doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who claim they care the most for your life. And now that's all over. And that's the best part. Today everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.